My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine head my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay.
Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder.
It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactual, zippity-doo-dah.
Hey, 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 what a gorgeous another day today. A little bit windy, but just a gorgeous day, just like yesterday. Coming in today, looked up, and then on my mirror that gives me the temperature in my avalanche, it said 75, and I'm just like, really? 75? I felt guilty not having shorts on.
I know, right?
Almost wanted to turn around and say, okay, I need shorts when it gets above 70.
I got my flip-flops on.
Oh, do you? See, I don't wear it. Oh, I hate them things. Oh, I can tell you stories.
Oh, yeah, oh bad?
Flip-flops. The sound of flip-flops, okay, is as bad as snapping gum. And I'll be around.
Oh, really?
My
okay,
daughter,
I'll stay away from
yeah,
you.
My daughter loves flip-flops, okay? And she started wearing those.
Yes.
And, I'm trying to, either walk faster so she, but that didn't work. Finally, I'd let her get ahead of me, and I'd time it. I'd get my foot out there so when she stepped,
Sure, yep.
And, I says, you will never wear flip-flops.
Oh, my God.
I cannot take this. I said, you get the kind that is strapped, on so it doesn't flop.
Right.
That snap, drives me insane. I hate them. I can't wear them. I can't wear anything that has things between my toes.
Mm.
Okay. I either go barefoot or tennis shoes. That's
there you go.
Or cowboy boots.
Oh, yes. Skyrock the cowboy boots.
Not in the
boots.
Summer months. But no, I cannot take the
okay,
snapping
Okay, well, I'm not
going to
walk by you today.
There you go. Otherwise, I will step on them. But there's times I tried to pitch, as she was walking, I tried to pitch a rock. So when her foot came down, it hit a rock. I was not nice. Because sometimes when she knew, when she was trying to tick me off, the flip-flops were around me.
Because
you knew it was such a sore in my side. And no, I could never get used to those sandals. I can't stand sandals. I've tried them as far, kind that, like the all-leather kind.
Right,
that the,
yep.
Yeah.
No, not
there.
Those either, huh?
No, it's either barefooters or tennis shoes. That's the only thing I can do.
Well, now I know something new about you today.
Yeah, those sandal snaps. I do not look forward to summer. I'll be in Walmart or whatever.
Well,
type
yeah,
thing.
Everyone is throwing them on and
yeah,
walking
and,
around.
And if I'm in the store and there's a person ahead of me flopping them
right,
things,
on the tiles,
I'm going down an aisle I don't even need to go down to because I am getting away from that person. Oh, well, such is life. Yeah,
yes.
I could never be a snowbird in Arizona or Florida because that's all they wear down there, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and I would be killing the whole state. Everybody
watch
would
out,
have bruises
KDK
on their feet. Because
after
I'd be
you.
Pitching rocks in there, so when their foot came down to hit a rock, oh, that wasn't a very nice. Yeah, no, that's just, I don't know why. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Well, I hate that sound. That's awful.
I know. So how was your week, Hope?
Good, very busy. I'm kind of getting exhausted, but just have to do a morning shift tomorrow, and then I can kind of relax.
Oh, who are you going to be on, Jason's?
Oh, no, at my other job.
Oh, yeah,
so
I
got to serve some
what do you do?
Guests. At, work at a hotel downtown, and so I set up like a breakfast.
Oh, okay.
I do like a morning shift, or I'm there like in the evening doing like a light supper and drinks for them.
Oh,
so,
my.
And I've been here and there this weekend back to back just because someone, I guess, wanted to extend their vacation. So I was nice enough to fill in, but more money in my pocket.
There you go. That's true. That's true. Save up for your trip to if you could go any place, where would you want to go?
I really am working on a trip to California.
Oh.
I've been there once, but I was younger and I want to go.
I was waiting for you to say Italy.
Well, I've been to Germany and I can't afford that, and my family's cut me off from family trips, or them paying for them, I should say. So it's going to be a while for a trip like that again.
Oh, okay. Now, see, and everybody knows in the whole world, I don't travel. I can barely stay overnight in Duluth one night without having a hissy fit. And so that's why my girlfriends, if we try to, they know better now to do an overnighter, because one time we went up to Duluth, and I said, now, giving you a forewarning. Why we get up here, you best get everything done today that you want to get done. Because when I wake up in the morning, we're going for home. We're leaving in
you
the
just
morning.
Like to be at home, or you just what's
I just don't like
hotels.
I love my place. If you saw my place, you might understand.
Yeah,
I love my
you.
Place so much that it's just because I've got so much around me. The horses, the dogs, the cats.
Yeah, you have lots.
The goat. The chickens and da 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 da. And I like I say, I just. I can't explain it. When I was first out of high school, I was with a company, it was Jones and Presnell, and remember the, we know you don't, I don't know.
Hey now.
Maybe our guests remember. the old Spartan Atlantic, the old Shopko stores and such like that, they used to have a photography unit come into these stores where the parents could bring the kids in and take family pictures of the kids and stuff like that. Well, I did that.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and so my territory was Minnesota to Mexico. Canada to Mexico, Minnesota to California. So I did a lot of, and they promised me that I would be home. I'd be out for 2 weeks and home for a week, out for 2 weeks, home for a week. Okay. I was on the road for 3 months and didn't make it home once.
That's insane.
And so it was like, because all of a sudden, oh, I had to go over here because that person was either sick or something like that. So they'd send me to, David City, Nebraska,
Right. Oh,
and
wow.
So, and I was in a lot of these smaller towns, like little drugstores had a little corner that I had to set everything up, take their pitch. The worst was that I was down in Iowa. Oh, family of 11 comes in.
Oh, gosh.
You try to get 11 kids.
No.
To be nice. And oh, I'll tell you, I was ready to go up to them and go, you listen to me?
That is a lot of patience.
But anyway, but we made it through. So, the, and
so
I don't
you've
know,
done it. You've kind of traveled.
So I've traveled. It's not like,
you
okay.
Haven't.
I haven't. Now my box is Forest Lake, White Bear, and then I have to come down here once a week.
That's enough for you.
But like I said, I don't understand. But like I said, I truly, there's no place like home. And like I said, I love my farm, and there's always something to be done. You know, fence goes down, this goes, whatever. So.
Of course, you're busy.
Yeah, so we're always putzing and doing something. And then I love to go smell my horse. Gotta smell my horse. This time of year, they smell like horse doo-doo.
That's not a good smell.
It is, though. I like that smell. The worst doo-doo you don't want to smell is pig doo-doo.
Oh.
Oh, Lordy, that'll drive you nuts. That'll open up your sinuses really, really lots. But anyway, okay, we're going to be taking your questions today. Oh, let's, first of all, reminder, Dr. Karen Becker, with Steve Brown, the Creating the Canine Wellness, okay, from Raw Bistro, Thursday, May 7th, 1 to 4. I got my ticket. You have yours. Go to rawbistro.com. It's $50, and it's going to be the best money you have ever. You know, you folks are always calling me and asking me a lot of nutrition class, questions. You know, you can get it straight from the horse's mouth where Dr. Karen Becker and Steve Brown, they're not just at 4 o'clock, they're not just not going to roll up the rug and leave. If you got questions, they're staying as long as you keep asking those questions. It's an interactive. They're just not going to get up, you know, do their spiel and then say bye. And then, you know, no, you're going to get so much out of this. And so, I mean, the tickets are starting to go fast. You know, the closer you get to something, okay?
Yes.
And so, yes, it is
get
a
on
Thursday.
It.
Yes, it is a Thursday, May 7th, 1 to 4. You know, you might have to take a day off of work. Hey, it's going to be one of the best days you ever took out. You know, your dog depends on this. The knowledge of Dr. Karen Becker and Steve Brown is phenomenal. And it's put on by Rob Easton. It's going to be in Cannon Falls Winery. Cannon River Winery. Boy, say that 3 times real fast. In Cannon Falls. And so maybe make it a night. You know, have a couple cocktails afterward.
That's what hotel. I would do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, now myself, I'm coming home.
Not Katie Canine. And she's coming home.
Yes, I'll be up for it. And luckily, I don't like wine. But now beer. On the other hand, okay. But anyway, so go to rawbistro.com, and then on the very top, there's a banner. Click on that, and you'll get all the information for this. And it's Creating Canine Wellness featuring Karen Becker and Steve Brown, which I had both on my show. So please, it's all about fresh, functional foods, okay? Species appropriate diet. There goes them all. And I'm just starting. Okay, also got to remind you about Saturday, May 16th, Bark for Life, that I'm on the committee for, and it's at Barker's Alps. I think that is so funny. In Bayport. And what it is a dog walk, just a small one, not huge, but to honor the people or to celebrate. Our pets help us so much through so many things as far as, and this year is a fundraiser for the American Cancer Society. And, you know, if you can't make it, you can always donate. But the thing is that cancer has affected all our lives, you know, whether it's, you know, a coworker, a family member, yourself, whatever. And so this is a way to celebrate how pets have helped us through that, and also is to honor the pets that we have lost to cancer. And so this is, to me, this is just really a phenomenal deal. This is our only second year. Last year we had a great day, beautiful sunny day, and we had about 200 some people and about 100 dogs.
That's great.
And for the first year, which is great. So if you want to find out more about it, go to relayforlife.org/BarkStillwaterMN. relayforlife.org/BarkStillwaterMN. And you can, if we still have booth space. It's if you have a rescue group, you get a free 9x9 space on grass. Otherwise, if you have a business and you want to be down there, it only costs you $25 to be there. So just go to that Relay for Life that I just mentioned, and you will I'll be able to sign up for there. And then, let's see, Pet Project is having their fundraiser, spring fundraiser, on Sunday, April 26th, from noon to 4 at Motai in Uptown. There we go. Okay, it's a limited number of tickets can be purchased ahead of time. Go to petprojectrescue.com, and it's $25 ahead of time, and at the door, it's $30. And they're going to be having silent auctions, and then obviously there's always food is involved. So if you want to know more about it, go to petprojectrescue.com. And let's see, where am I at? I think that is it. In studio today, we have some special guests. We have Min Pets. Min Pets. So we're going to be talking about ways to memorialize, yeah, right, that's easy for them to say, their pet. And we got Rebecca here and Christy, so we're going to be talking to them. Also, this show, what I want to go over is I'm seeing so many ads on TV for all the chemicals for fleas and ticks, and it's driving me nuts. So today we're going to go over natural ways to repel fleas and ticks. So make sure you have a pen and or pencil. Does anybody use pencils anymore?
I don't think so.
I do. I'll raise my hand.
They're going to be typing it in their smartphones.
What? Yeah, you know, but I love pencils, and you know what I love to do? I love sharpening them. I got a hand sharper, and believe it or not,
is it the crank? Like,
okay, I got one hand, you know, one of those little plastic things that you kind of ching, 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 ching.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I don't know when it was, it had to be maybe 10, 15 years ago. I got obsessed with the old ones that you know are on the wall turn the handle. And if I saw them at flea markets or garage sales,
took them from like old, like high school buildings.
Yeah, I would get them. I have a bucket that has quite a few in there. And
what
I got
collector
them up around
item.
The house and stuff like that. I love them things. At school, I used to go there and I loved, never mind. Okay, so we're going to be talking about that too. And then also when we come back, I want to quick make a mention. Chris Lund, Freddie, you know that dog that was killed by the dog in Maplewood? Or Shoreview, I mean, this week. I want to give a quick shout-out to Chris Lund, so we'll talk a little bit more of that when we get back. Well, don't turn the dial. Okay, let's see what the first question is. You ready for this? What did ancient Greek believe to be a cross between a tiger and a horse? What was ancient Greek believed to be a cross between a tiger and a horse? We'll be right back. Hi, thanks for staying with the Katie K9 Show. I'm here every Sunday from 4 to 6, answer to canine questions and occasional feline questions. And today we have guests from Min Pets, which we'll bring in a second here. Okay, you ready for this? What did the ancient Greeks believe to be a cross between a tiger and a horse?
A zebra.
You ding ding!
Yes!
Yay, you! I know it. That's what we were, Rebecca and Chrissy was like. But now think about it. It's pretty obvious when you think about
well,
it.
Well, yeah.
Okay, what color? Here's another piece of trivia for you.
Okay.
Maybe you guys can chime in. When the zebras are 6 months and under, what color are their stripes?
Yellow.
Do you have any idea, Chrissy? You got to turn on your mic.
Okay, are the stripes gray?
No.
I was going to guess brown.
Yes. Oh. Ding, 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 ding. When the zebras are up to six months old, they have brown stripes. So anytime you're in a zoo and you see a zebra with brown stripes, they're under 6 months old. There you go.
There you go.
I did not know that. I was at, I think, a Como Zoo a long time ago, and I saw one. I'm like, oh, a new breed of zebra.
A whole new species.
A whole new species. Brown stripes. All right. And then now, this week on WCCO, I think it was last Saturday or Sunday, WCCO had a story about Chris Lund, her little black poodle dog that was probably maybe not even 9-10 pounds, killed by one of the neighbor's dogs. And the neighbor dog, of course, of all dogs, it has to be a pit bull. And I didn't want to really, we're not focusing on what breed. What we're focusing
right.
on is that this dog literally came out of nowhere and, you know, grabbed Freddie and picked him up, shook him, and it was over. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And she was right there. Well, also, this is a little bit closer to home because Chris had brought Freddie through my classes for dog training.
Oh,
okay. So I know Freddie.
Right.
And he was the most gentle little dog you ever saw. But this dog, the dog's name was Oliver, was deemed a dangerous dog in Minneapolis. Okay. So then they moved to Shoreview. And they said he jumped out of the fence and went after this little dog, that he was contained. Well, if anybody knows pit bulls really don't. They don't jump.
Right.
They're not a jumper. My guess is that either they were playing in the yard with the dog, and then, or they opened the door, they were going out, and the dog saw the dog, busted past him, and got to Freddie. Okay. But what it raises is that, okay, this dog was deemed a dangerous dog, and most dogs that are deemed dangerous, number one, if they are in public, they have to have a muzzle on. Okay?
Okay.
Even if they're outside playing in their own fenced-in yard, they have to have a muzzle on just in case they got out of their backyard.
Exactly.
Okay? And so, I mean, I know everybody's got to feel just terrible about this, but it leads credence to how people... Okay, it's been deemed a dangerous dog. Obviously, it has done wrong in its time.
Right.
That if you're going to choose to keep a dog like this, you have to have more responsibility and not just think, oh, my dog is a good dog. It was just a one-time act. Well, this one-time act killed Freddie. And so that there's no way you're bringing Freddie back. And so, and the anguish that she was there when it happened on top of it. And so I appeal to everybody out there that has a dog that's dangerous, or you've been really lucky that your dog has not yet hurt, but has the potential, you know, that yeah. doesn't like other little dogs. And little dogs, I think most big dogs think that it's squirrel, you know what I mean?
Right,
is
yeah.
what they kind of go after. But the whole thing is that people of dogs that are, they have a high prey drive, so they do chase after things that go or do like little, you know, are obsessed with getting at little things, whether it be a cat, a dog, you know what I mean, type thing, that you have a higher responsibility that you yeah. better make sure you have total control. And there's so many people that think they have total voice control over the dog, that if the dog would get out of the house, they can call it back. Wrong. Dogs are not computers. You don't know what mm-hmm. you're going to be up against. And if you have a potentially dog that might hurt a person or another dog, then you best never have that dog off a leash. You even open that front door, you have a leash on that dog. Or you make a containment that if the dog gets past you, you know, there's like a little fenced in containment area. So
yeah.
he runs and that will stop him, and then you can get him back into the house. But my heart was just sad because for Chris, because she had lost her husband, and Freddie was kind of to help her.
Right,
you
yeah.
know, and so that's why it's very sad. So her name is Chris Lund, and so it's rest in peace, Freddie. And like I said, people out there with potential dangerous dogs, don't think it's not going to happen to you. Be realistic. And that's all I can say. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. Okay, we're going to get to Men Pets here, but we got Pet Project calling in about their fundraiser. So let's talk. Oh, did she go?
Let me check if this is her calling back.
Okay. Oops. We'll get to her. Okay. In the meantime, tune up, you guys. Is Mike's there? Just hit your buttons on. Your buttons on? Yeah, your buttons on. Okay. Okay, we want to welcome Men Pets. I have used Men Pets, be 3 years this year with my band. And we got Dr. Rebecca. Do you want your whole name or just Dr. Rebecca?
Well, Dr. Rebecca is fine. Rebecca McComas is my last name.
Okay. You don't even know your last name.
Nope.
But anyway, and we got Dr. Rebecca, and then we also have Christy. And you with your work with Men Pets, what is that?
Yes. So I'm one of the counselors for Minnesota Pets, and I help schedule, and I also talk to people on the phone about making the difficult decision to put a pet down at home.
Okay.
And then also about grief if they're having some issues they want to talk about.
Okay. And for people that are either new listeners or whatever, I want Dr. Rebecca to explain what is Men Pets, what they do, and then how long it's been around and what made you start Men Pets.
Sure. We have been around not quite 5 years. We'll have our 5-year anniversary this summer. And the whole purpose of Minnesota Pets is so that people, when they have to face an end of life moment with their pet, when they have to consider euthanasia, mm-hmm. that they have an option for doing that at home,
yeah.
as opposed to going into the clinic where it may feel a little more sterile.
You talk about stress.
And stressful.
You know, and every pet, yeah. dog, cat, everything, hates. Yeah. It would be like the human turn of going to the dentist.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so, and you're a wreck anyway, you know, mm-hmm. and so that's why this, what you started is phenomenal. So go ahead.
Well, it all stemmed from the experience that I had with two beagles that we had rescued and were family pets. They were members of our family, and we had to consider euthanasia for both of them within a year.
Okay.
We were faced with making that decision, and as a veterinarian, I would never have thought to bring them into my clinic because they were little scaredy cats.
Yeah.
They hated going in the car. They hated going in that clinic. It was the worst place in the world for them. So I just helped them help them with euthanasia at home, right in my living room, the most comfortable place for them to be. And it occurred to me at that time, I had the luxury of doing that because I was a veterinarian. But what about everybody else who loves their pets the same way and knows that they're scared just the same way mine were? And that's why I started the practice.
And that was 5 years ago.
That was almost 5 years ago.
You know, for some reason, I would have swore you were going to say 10 years. Because to me, it seems like you've been around for a while. Yeah.
Well, but it feels like a lifetime.
I know. It's just like doing this radio show. I don't believe I've been doing it 12 years. Seems like I've always done it. But then on the other hand, sometimes I've only been here 2 years. And so you started that. And wasn't it just you at the beginning?
It was really me doing everything. I answered all of the phone calls that came in from pet owners who had questions or were thinking about setting up an appointment. I went on every single appointment, but now we're 10 veterinarians.
10?
Yeah.
Oh, and my Lord.
Is it 4 support staff with our driver and our folks who are in the office, like Christy, taking calls. Yeah. And so we are 7 days a week, almost 365 days a year. We do take a few of the major holidays off, but there's just that much demand out there. Yeah. And they're all part-time, I should say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. I understand that. Yeah. You know, and the thing is that I guess you have to be a unique person because you're coming to work and having to deal with, you know, somebody that has to let go of a furry kid, you know, their grief. And then, like I said, every time somebody loses a pet, I go backwards and start thinking of all mine. And then I'm bawling with everybody else, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And so that's why you are a very unique person that can do that. And then to find other people, because basically their day is of being, you know, trying to help people walk through this.
Yes.
And like I said, that takes so much emotion, you know, from yourself. So, I mean.
It does. And yet, how enriching is that? I mean, to be able to do that,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The privilege of being there, it's such a remarkable moment when families are saying goodbye. Yes. That's a really intense and very interesting experience to be a part of. And so, there are certain veterinarians who have just found their way to me over the years and are drawn to this kind of work. Yep. And I think they find it as rewarding as I do. They don't
You get to help people. Yeah. I mean, it is phenomenal. Okay, we got to run to break and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk more with Min Pets. And we also got Pet Project Malaya here. Okay, we'll get to you as soon as we get back. Okay, what are you ready for this? What element rejuvenates a prairie by causing more plants to grow taller, flowers, and produce seed? What element rejuvenates a prairie? We'll be right back. All right. We're hopefully getting your feet stomping. They said we're supposed to have storms tonight, like coming in about 5, 6. I don't know. Is there any radar out there, Hope? Does it look like something's coming our way?
I think it'll be more in the south, I think I read.
Oh, okay.
But later this evening, maybe a little bit.
Well, good, because, you know, it seems like when storms come in, it's always when I'm doing my radio show. When tornado hit Hugo in 08, where was I? It hit 5:02. I was doing the radio show, and it's like, oh, please don't say it's going to hit. I have no idea how many storms I either came to work in or went home in from here. I don't know why they pick Sundays. You know, can you make one day later? I only come into the city once a week.
Well, it's because we had to have the nice weekend, you know, and now...
There you go.
Top it off at the end.
Okay, what element rejuvenates a prairie by causing more plants to grow taller, flower, and produce seed? Do you have any idea what element?
Element, like sunshine.
Well,
rain.
Is that what you're gonna say? Sunshine?
Yeah, sunshine.
Oh, do you wanna try it, Christy?
I think it's fire.
Okay, do you wanna try?
I was gonna guess fire.
Ding ding ding, it's fire. There you go. Fire causes the prairie to snap back. And same with forest. The heat of a fire is what produces the pine cone to pop and release seeds that will grow into new pine trees. Yeah, they have to get that high a heat in order to pop like that. Isn't that something?
Crazy.
I know it. Okay, we're going to get back to Min Pets and Dr. Rebecca and Christy, but first we got to go and talk Pet Project. We got Myla there. Hi, Maya.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. So what's going on at Pet Project?
Oh, lots. But this coming 26th of April, we will be having our 7th annual spring fundraiser for Pet Project Rescue.
Okay.
We're going to have that at Moto Eye in Uptown right on Lake and Lindale from 12 to 4.
Okay.
And this year for Pet Project Rescue, we've set a pretty big goal. We want to be able to provide service for twice as many animals in 2015 as we did in 2014.
Okay.
So for us, the Sunday fundraiser on April 26th is a big deal because it really helps us raise a lot of the funds that we need to provide the vet care and the spay neuter assistance and all of the things that the animals need when they come into our program.
Okay, explain Pet Project. Explain to people that may not know of you, what do you do or who are you and how long you've been out there?
Yeah, so Pet Project Rescue started in 2008. We are foster-based rescue organization, like a lot of rescues in the metro area.
Okay.
But we do a lot of other programs beyond just foster and adoption. We have a large trap neuter return program that services street cats in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So basically we go out, we determine where
the colony
street
is.
Cats and colonies and feral cats are. And we take the kittens out and rehab them as long as they're young enough to be able to happily live within, you know,
right.
a normal home setting.
Right.
And then the adults that just would not be happy or would not be suitable for adoption are trapped, and then they are spayed, neutered, and then okay. they're returned to the colony with a caregiver that oversees them.
Oh, nice.
We do a lot of programming because there just isn't a lot formally set up to help those kind of populations that aren't adoptable in the metro area.
Right,
so
right.
We have great vets on board and we have phenomenal volunteers and caregivers that oversee those colonies and help with those things. So we're able to reduce the populations on the street as well as the populations that are coming into our shelters in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Because
unfortunately, those cats, when they come into our shelters, are feral, they're not adoptable, and usually in the past, up until we started some of our feral cat programs, the only option was euthanasia, which is unfortunate because they can live healthy, happy lives on the street.
Take care of a lot of mice.
They do, yeah, and that actually leads into our barn cat program where we actually take cats, feral cats that are unadoptable in high kill shelters in Minneapolis and St. Paul and in the suburbs. So we work with a whole variety of shelters and we place those cats in barn homes.
Oh, nice.
All throughout Minnesota. So people who are looking for rodent control and various things and they, you know, want to provide shelter and food and care for these cats, we do all the vaccines, the spay and neuter, microchip them and everything. And then they're placed in that barn home. And we do home visits for the barn homes, but they're placed in that barn home without charge.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's a program that we can really greatly reduce the number of cats that are being put down simply because they're not
adoptable. Yeah, exactly. No, that's awesome. I did not know you did that. That's great because I know you can go to a lot of farms in the outskirts. You know, they got a buttload of cats running around, but they all look like, you know, some of them are not doing very well.
Yeah.
And will you go to like barns that where they have colonies of cats and work with the owner of that barn or that farm?
Yeah. If we ever came across a situation where somebody wanted to take in a cat and they had an overpopulation issue, we would definitely deal with that issue with them.
Okay.
As well as placing any additional cats there.
Okay.
We're pretty lucky that tends not to be the case. But we, even though our focus for TNR is Minneapolis and St. Paul, we still provide resources. People can borrow traps from us. We teach them how to trap.
Oh, excellent.
And do all of those things no matter where they live. So our resources are grants. Service Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Okay.
And we've been able to really reduce the population massively and even reduce the number of cats that are coming into the shelter.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Which was the whole motivation for the program to start with. So we've been doing this for a handful of years and it's working. I actually just ran into one of our colony caregivers at a function last night, and he said to me, you know, it's completely increased the quality of our life because we don't have stray cats running everywhere in our yard constantly, you know, we're able to, and we don't have to see them suffering. We're, you know, able to see that they're healthy and happy, and we're able to control the population. So
that is great.
Yeah,
okay, so this fundraiser,
fundraiser,
April 26th.
Yes. April 26th from 12 to 4 at Moto I. It's going to, the tickets are $25 in advance, $30 at the door. And the tickets do include drinks and food. We're going to have the whole first floor of Moto I, which also is amazing, amazing cuisine. And we are going to do a large silent auction that we do every year and phenomenal things. We have a condo in Big Sky. We have, you know, gift cards to, you name it, any restaurant in the metro area, lots of, you know, animal-oriented gift baskets, all sorts of phenomenal things. So it's a really fun time. It's a Sunday fun day. You know, we just enjoy it. It's a very relaxed, just, you know, fun, fun event.
Excellent.
And that's at petprojectrescue.com.
Okay. Well, I greatly appreciate it, and good luck with your fundraiser.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks for having us on.
And thanks for all you do, too, for, I didn't realize you did all that, so that is great. And so you can go to get tickets or to find out more about petprojectrescue.com, petprojectrescue.com. Have a great day, kiddo.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All righty, then. We're going to go to break right away because then we got to get to talking to our guest. And if you have any questions for our guest here, you are welcome to call 651-641-1071. What mineral accounts for 35% of the Earth's composition? It's Science Day, as Bradley and Colleen would do. I don't have that. That they have one of silence.
I could find it.
Yeah, no, that's, I don't want to steal their show. You know what? I just, let me try to ad lib what it is. No. So, what mineral accounts for 35% of the Earth's composition? Be right back. That heart is so cold all over my. Oh, that's a good beat to it. Thanks. Putting that in there. Hope that's pretty doggone good. Okay. What is 35% of the Earth's composition? Science!
Oh, no.
Okay, do you have any idea?
Iron? No.
Ding, 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 ding,
yes.
Ding, ding, ding. I'm
really
impressed, Hope.
I guess.
Yes. Yeah, well, that was very good.
Luck.
That was very good. I'm impressed.
I was so bad at science.
Is that what you guys were
going to
say?
School, so.
I was going to say carbon.
Carbon? Okay.
I had no idea.
You had no idea? Okay.
It was the first mineral to come to my mind.
Well, it was a good mineral. That was a good mineral to come to your mind. Very impressive. There
oh,
you go.
Oh, that made
go,
my
Hope.
Day.
There
I'm
you
done.
Go.
I'm done.
You're good. And did you Google that while we
no,
were...
No, I promise you, I did it.
I saw a shirt somewhere, and a guy was wearing it, and it says, I don't need Google. My wife knows everything.
I saw that one, too.
Yeah, isn't that funnier than heck?
Yes.
I would not be able to be that man. And you have to go home. You'd have to take that shirt off before you got home. But anyway, okay, we are talking live and in person to Dr. Rebecca, who started Min Pets, which is at youth at home euthanasia. And we've got Christy, who is a counselor. And we're going to bring in here now because you started that 5 years ago, mm-hmm. In home euthanasia because of your own need, Dr. Rebecca, two beagles. And that is so stressful for the owners. And I know this is kind of it's a down, you know, kind of subject, but Chrissy's going to save us because we've all have lost pets. And when you start talking about it, you just want to recoil into a ball. But there's many ways that can help people if you've just lost, you know, there's some people that in 2 years are still grieving. Mm-hmm. And people look at them and go, get a life. It's been 2 years ago. You don't realize how much the pets have become to many lives, especially if a person doesn't have much of a family or a networking. That pet, a lot of times, is that person. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's only true family.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There's different ways you can memorialize is what you talk about, right?
Yeah. Well, we wanted to talk about something a little bit more upbeat.
Yes, thank you. Yay!
Have, I know. And so I love talking about memorializing uh-huh. because I think we don't do it enough.
Yes, very
pets.
True.
When we lose a human family member, it's kind of built in the process
yep.
of a funeral
yeah.
and all of those things. And it kind of gives us a space and it feels acceptable. And with pets, we don't really have that. And so we have to create it ourselves.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of things.
And
you
some
can
people
do.
Don't think of it either.
Right. Exactly. And they maybe think it's kind of odd or they haven't heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
But losing a pet can feel really isolating. And so doing these things can be a really healthy part of the process. And there are things as immediate as posting a tribute on Facebook.
Okay.
A lot of our clients do that
yep.
on our Facebook page. or writing sort of an obituary. Mm-hmm. We read one a few weeks ago for a client that works for somewhere where he writes for a living. Okay. And he wrote one about his dog, and it was so neat. I just loved it.
And they could, is that on your Facebook page?
Mm-hmm.
You have a Facebook, and what is it? Min Pets?
Yep, it's Minnesota Pets.
Is it spelled out Min or just
Facebook.com/MNPets?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the neatest stories on there. Those are so touching.
Yeah, and they share pictures, and it's really, really neat. So those are good things to do sort of immediately after a loss. Mm-hmm. It can kind of help make things feel real, which sounds very painful, but it's also really important.
Yep.
And then there are things people can do in the months or years following their pet's death. And there are some really great things people can do with their kids, like art things, making scrapbooks, making slideshows. All of those creative things are sort of my favorite, especially for kids.
Mm-hmm.
But another one that I really like, and this can, you know, years and years after a pet passes away, people can kind of pay it forward, depending on how they got their pet. If it's a rescue especially, it can be really healthy for people to, like, raise money and donate to a rescue. Or I've heard...
Pet's name.
Right, exactly. Yes. Kind of in honor of their pet, especially if it's a rescue their pet came from or it's the same breed. I had some friends whose dog died, and their friends' children went door to door and raised money and donated in honor of their dog, Ted.
Oh, nice.
And I just love that. I think that's really healthy for kids, too.
Oh, that is. That really is. That definitely. And it gives you something to do with your time.
Exactly.
Instead of just sitting there and going, you know, all of a sudden it's like it kicks your sales back, because you're doing something good that you know, you know. And then, like I said, a good way to memorialize in name of Ted.
Mm-hmm.
That it would put a smile on your face right away.
Well, it was just so wonderful for those kids because they got to tell Ted's story over and over to willing listeners.
Yeah.
And that's an incredibly healing process. People don't really get to use their voice to talk about the pets who are already gone.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
I love that story. I think it's great.
No, that is good. And so then what are some other ways that can help?
Let's see. When I'm online, I see a lot of different things you can do in a garden, and this is a good time of year to think about that.
Oh, that is. I've started to think about it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stepping stones. People have little statues or benches, and that's nice because that's a place you can go and spend time and reflect. And there's also some really neat things that you can do yourself or buy online that incorporates your pet's ashes into a garden. There are different urns that you can plant with your pet's ashes, and then it grows flowers.
Oh, okay.
A lot of families like to do a tree planting. We did that at our pet Memorial Day a couple years ago. So those, again, are just kind of nice outdoor activities the whole family can be a part of. Sometimes it can include a poem or, you know, maybe someone wants to read a special story.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of a ritual that you can do as a family, like you would do if you lost a human family member.
Right.
You might read a story or say a prayer or read a poem.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just as important, you know, when we lose a pet, if not more.
And especially, I know there's still, I think the only one pet, I know Animal Inn had a pet cemetery for once in a while, and then there's one on 36 in Dale, the old Feist Animal Cemetery, but majority of people have them, you know, cremated.
Right.
And so I think, you know, planting a tree or a shrub rose, something that you would remind you, you know, is an awesome way, because then every spring now when I've had a couple friends that have lost pets, you know what a stargazer lily is? I love them things, and I love the way they smell.
So beautiful.
Yeah, you know what? Now, if you have cats, you don't want to do that, because remember, lilies are very toxic to cats. But if you don't have a cat, you know, in your family, you know, something as simple as just that, because each year it builds and gets bigger and bigger. You know, the first year you might have one flower or two flowers, and the next year maybe, you know, three or four flowers, and then it providing you don't hit it with a mower or something. You know, then you can reflect when you start seeing it open. It's almost like then it just kind of opens your memories, you know, whereas, you know, thinking of that pet that you planted it for, and because I just love the smell. And then stargazer, you think, you know, they're up in heaven, you know, with the stars and such like that. So I just thought that very appropriate.
Yeah.
And some people can say, well, I can't plant a tree where I live. Well, then, like, if you planted a lily or some kind of flower that you like a lot, that or reminds you of the pet, like, if you ever have to leave, you can bring that with, unlike if you plant a shrub or a tree or whatever type thing. And then you can take your lawn chair and go sit by that flower or whatever and, you know, read poems or talk about, you know what I mean? And that's just a good way to be happy about it instead of always being... he's gone. You know what I mean? So you're beautifying the landscape. You know, and it gives you your smiles, like I say, when they open. You know, because my friends that I have given them to, they would call and say, they're almost ready to open. They're almost ready to open. And they just get almost just ecstatic that, you know, by looking at that, you know, that lily. So it really is cool. And I, like I said, I love the smell. I could just... It's as good as, not as good as smelling my horse, though.
Better than horse poo. Maybe
yeah, we'll there you go. There you go.
You know, one of the things I've learned from Christy, which is so, I didn't really know until working with a counselor, is that remembering isn't dwelling on in an unhealthy way.
Yes.
I used to think if I reminded a pet owner, you know, just even by running into me a year later, they would be reminded of that sad day and that sad event. But that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be reminded and to remember.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you're unhealthy, you know, unable to move on or dwelling on in any way. Having those memories really just gives you another healthy way to revisit.
Oh, exactly.
Lots of the pet.
Yeah. And I know some people feel... that they're odd or strange that, you know, it's been 2 years or 3 years. And to them, they say they can't let go. And it's like, no, it's not letting go. It's figuring out how to work, you know, to that you're okay and not, you're no longer mourning, you're not mourning, you're like celebrating, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's tough for some people to move forward. And, you know, I've been really lucky in my life that I've always had a multiple, you know, I've never just had one dog or one rabbit or one cat. and I really, I feel bad for the people that do have just that one dog and they lose and they come home to an empty bowl. And so that is so, and then friends, they say, well, it's been a year. Can you move forward? But, you know, by more memorialize, you can say it. you know what I mean? That, I think, is an extra way to help you and with, by doing that and, or paying forward. Like, I love that idea of going and getting donations and donating, you know, to either a rescue that you used or whatever type thing that, you know, in that pet's name. I just think that that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And then you have positive thoughts, you know, type thing. So, but anyway, so now they, if they want to, you have a blog too, that and you have a lot of really good articles to help people either dealing with that, pull them up, or you know what I mean?
And, well, there's a number of resources that pet owners can go to on our website. So mnpets.com is where we have both our articles for pet owners, which is our blog, but then there's also, if folks want to, they can sign up for our newsletter, which comes about once a quarter. We don't bombard your inbox with very much, with very many messages, but we always have grief articles that have been written by Christy or other members of our team. Very grief-related, resources. And we also have, just very recently, put together, it's a one-month series of messages that come just every couple of days to your inbox. If you want to read it that day, you can, or you can read it later.
Okay.
And it is 10 different messages, each one a different step in the grief support process, if you will. Christy, how can I tell people what those different... What are those 10 different messages
so
encompassing?
They're kind of designed to follow the natural progression of grief, which is different for everyone, but there are some things that are common in a lot of processes. And so it's designed to come out at different points in that process, different a couple of days apart, like Rebecca said, and people get them right into their inbox. And it's just kind of a way to, you know, validate what you're feeling, because in those days afterwards, it can feel very lonely and, you know, odd, like you're not doing it right or you're not normal. So to see those words.
Hold that
someone.
Thought, because we got to run. We're going to come back. We're going to be more with Min Pets. And then if you got any questions, give a holler, 651-641-1071. What two colors are magpie feathers? What two colors are magpies feathers?